listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest for this hour is Ilan Jorno. He is the co-author with Ankar Gate of a very important, very thoughtful, very timely book entitled Failing to Confront Islamic Totalitarianism from George W. Bush to Barack Obama and Beyond. He is the fellow and director of policy research at the Ayn Rand Institute and has been a guest once before, but we're very pleased to have him back for a more in-depth conversation about the topic that he has addressed in this book and others. Let me ask you, Ilan, about this issue of Sharia. I think you've characterized it very well as kind of at the core of the ideology and the thing that is driving the goals of Islamic totalitarianism. There are those who say there are different kinds of Sharia, and that one shouldn't be unduly concerned about the specific claims being made by, say, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State, because he's just following one interpretation. And as you said in the previous segment, there are peaceful Muslims who are following their own, and they're clearly not a problem. Tease that out with us, if you would. Is there more than one kind of Sharia in the Islamic tradition, the mainstream tradition I'm talking about here, or are we really looking at the same corpus of law, if you will, just enforced to varying degrees in different places throughout the Muslim world?
So I should say my expertise is not Islamic scholarship, but I have looked into it. So that, with that qualification, I would say you will find different schools of jurisprudence within Islam and within the different major sects. And there's two perspectives you can take. From the inside of the religion, I'm sure that people would insist and they would make a strong case that, no, our view is very different from those people over there. You know, we have certain ways of looking at things that are very different. In the same way that if you look at Christian denominations, the Catholic and various Protestant sects, we look at things very differently from the inside. Now, those are interesting questions and they're important from certain perspectives. But from our perspective, on the outside looking at this, what matters is when we think of the Islamic totalitarian movement, the one question to ask is, does it have roots in the religion of Islam and the history and the tradition and the and things like that? So like the whole tradition of an empire and conquest, different denominations, different sects and the different jurisprudence schools. But on the outside, from our perspective of thinking this as a national security issue, not as a theological one, the question to ask is, can we understand this ideology without seeing its important roots in the history and doctrines of Islam and just the model of Muhammad as a conqueror who is both a political and religious leader? And the answer is no, we can't. And if you look at the doctrines of Islamic totalitarianism, and when you boil them to their kind of common denominator, the kind of society they want, how they want to achieve it, there are commonalities, and it does follow from sort of an outside perspective on Islam as a doctrine. And by that I mean this. It would be strange if the Islamic totalitarians told us that we must bow in the name of Zeus and Aphrodite. That would definitely be a non-mainstream interpretation of Islamic doctrine. But they don't tell us that. Yeah, they don't tell us that. And they don't tell us we have to bow in the name of Moses. They tell us that we have to bow in the name of Allah. And they tell us that they're modeling themselves on Muhammad in very specific ways. And this is one of the things ISIS has done. And they model themselves on this, on what is easily traceable, and it's a natural interpretation. Now, I'm not going to take a stand and say this is the only interpretation that makes sense, and that we have to discount all the others as non-Muslims, because that's a debate that Iran and Saudi Arabia have every day: who's more Muslim, and are you a Shiite or are you a Sunni, and who's the heretic? And it, from their perspective, that's very significant. From our perspective, it is not. Because what matters is what really animates the people who are blowing themselves up in the streets of Paris and in the streets of Ankara and in the streets of New York and who would want to blow up things in New York. Now, it is a certain doctrine that is a political movement, ideological movement, rooted in this ideology and in this religion. And that's significant. We have to understand that if we hope to stop them.
Yeah. You know, Ilan, I think you've really said that as well as can be said. The one fillip that I would add is it seems to me that as long as this is reflected in authoritative Islam, not just sort of heretical, you know, factions, it greatly exacerbates the problem you're describing. You know, it's bad enough if it's just an Islamic State here or an Al-Qaeda there or a Taliban someplace else or a Boko Haram or a Hamas or a Hezbollah. I mean, that's a serious national security problem all by itself. But if potentially many, many millions of other Muslims are persuaded that this Mohammedan model, as you mentioned, this doctrine of Sharia as practiced by the authorities of Al-Azhar and, you know, the Saudis and the like, are in fact the true teachings of the faith, clearly that's at least an incipient and far larger problem than the various outcroppings of it in these terrorist groups that I've mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, let me just add something to that, because I think there's a perspective on this that's important, which is, if you recall, after the 2005 suicide bombings on the London Underground, there was a famous survey, opinion poll of Muslims in the UK. And the result of it, and the basic question that a lot of people were alarmed by is, would you support taking such actions against the UK and other Western countries? I think that was the way the issue was framed. And an astonishing number said yes, and it was, in a sense, taken to mean there's a certain sympathy with what was done, though not a willingness to do it themselves. And there have been other polls in the years since, both about people's perspective on Al-Qaeda and so on. And what's surprising there is that whether or not they themselves would regard their views as we're Islamic totalitarians, or just I'm a regular Muslim and this is my view, there's an alarming number who see either have sympathy for the goal that Islamic totalitarians have, or at least believe that however bad their means, what they're trying to do is in some sense noble. Now, I don't remember the poll offhand right now. I don't have it in front of me, but people can look this up. I think one of the most recent ones was a Pew survey. And it's troubling because it means that there's a certain resonance, at least, by the people who have peaceful lives but who espouse a certain view of Islam and their view of these actions. Now, that doesn't mean that's not something you can draw very strong conclusions about, but it's a very important fact that you need to understand, as there's a certain constituency that has resonance and sometimes sympathy and more, perhaps, than they might tell in the surveys. But that's real data to chew on and understand is, okay, what are we really looking at? Is it just a fringe, ragtag group of people, or is there wider resonance for this ideology?
Well, and again, this is what I keep calling us back to is, without getting into the various sectarian divides and fissures and fault lines and the rest, there is this common belief that within, you know, sort of the so-called mainstream Islam, that jihad is an obligation. And it's not just personal struggle. It is about bringing about the triumph of Sharia worldwide and in keeping with the Muslim practice, Muhammad's model, doing it through violence where you can and through stealthy means where you can't, which brings us to the question of the role of the Muslim Brotherhood in all of this. And we'll talk about that with Ilan Giorno and much more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.